operators. Welcome to BrassTax, getting down to BrassTax for Wednesday, April 15th. I'm Sankey Price, and I'll be your moderator for this program, which concludes today at 2 p.m. Michelle Bradford is our producer, and the first voice you'll hear when you call us at 43-41-790. You can also participate by contacting us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. Now, my understanding is that there are a lot of vehicles on the street. The lines are, of course, long at the supermarkets. The hardware stores are opened and people are out there shopping. But you remember, you're not supposed to be out there unless you need to be out there. And most important, only those who are supposed to be out there today should be out there. And that is very, very important. Next thing too is that the banks, my understanding is that the banks are seeing the people, and some people are still not adhering to physical distancing or social distancing. But people, you have to remember, it is in your interest to keep distance from somebody else. It's within your interest to wear that mask, that cloth mask that you can make at home, or it could be a scarf or something. It's within your interest. If you're wearing a mask or covering over your nose and your mouth, and somebody else is wearing that as well, then you're doubly protected, because this thing is killing people, and it's killing those who have diabetes, the comorbidities. Those people in particular are the ones most at risk as well. So you need to protect yourselves. We'll have a really good program today. And let's take our first call. Good morning. You are on the air.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Yes. I am senior, and I am having some problems with getting my medication. And I wondered if you could assist me, if you know the process, could do that. I had medication that was due, and they only had two of those prescriptions available at that time. So then I'm still lacking one of the medications, and I have been trying all kind of different ways to get someone to pick it up, because I can't go myself to the clinic to get it.
Do you normally get your medication from the
polyclinic, yes.
From the polyclinic?
Black Rock, yes.
So did you call and find out exactly what may be the problem?
Well, they didn't have any, but they have it now. At the time, I mm-hmm. only got two, because they didn't have the third, but mm-hmm. they have it available now. Mm-hmm. I still have to get someone to collect it for me. Have anyone. Believe me, if I had someone, I wouldn't be calling you. Everybody says, are you sure there's no one else? I'm very sure there is no one else. I'm 72 years old.
You're 72, and I have to take it that you are not, you have difficulty walking, or?
Yes, I do. I'm dizzy. Is
there anywhere one of the somebody from the polyclinic can bring it for you? Because I know that some of these polyclinics do have
something
transportation.
Like that from the last time, because somebody did bring the two, mm-hmm. but now I am needing the third one, and there's no one. I can't get an answer there. No one knows about it. All of the different there's a Department of Elder Affairs, and I've called mm-hmm. them many, many times, and they always say somebody call you back, and no one has. Mm-hmm. So, I don't want to take up the whole program like this, but I just wondered if there is any other avenue that is available for a person that needs medication.
Well, actually, I was going to suggest Elder Affairs, but what I'm going to do is you speak to the this producer and give her your uh-huh. number. What I will do then is I will try to get hold of somebody at Elder Affairs and see if we can fast-track this for you, okay?
I really would appreciate it.
Okay. Before you go, tell me, I get the impression that you live alone?
I do.
How are you coping with the curfew and...
As you can see, I am alone here. I have been alone living here for quite a while, so it's not anything strange or different except for the fact that the conveniences that I could have used previously are no longer available to me. As they keep saying, don't go out, you're not to go out, don't go out of your house. And because I have a prior experience with high blood pressure, a cancer survivor, you name it, I've had it. So I really cannot go out. And they all say you shouldn't go out, don't go out to get neighbors helping me with some food items and fruit and so, but she can't do that for me today. She has a young baby, and I don't want to get her involved in this.
Yes, I understand. Well, you hang in there, and just don't put down. Just leave your name and number with the producer, and we'll see if we can get hold of Elder Affairs and see if we can get a few. Okay? All right. Thank you very much. We move to the next call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Can I speak to you off air?
No, you can't speak to me off air because there's no facility like that. What you have to do is to leave the number with the producer, and then I'll be able to I'll have to call you back.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right. We have here a number of things happening on our WhatsApp. This person here is saying, good morning, Brass Tacks. Just letting you know, the volume on the online radio is very, very low today. All right. We get David Johnson to look at that for you. He said the volume on the online radio is very, very low. All right. Good. We go to the next call. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Not too bad.
And what is on your mind today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am well. And you?
I'm not too bad today.
Fine. Are you adhering to the rules of the shutdown? You're staying inside?
Yes, please. I cannot get around, so are you inside?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind today?
I was talking about floor.
About floor? What about
yes,
floor?
Please. My son has $28 on his cell phone. And he went yesterday to use his phone, and he sent free normally. And he called, and they told him that if his credit is on the phone over 3 months, that they're going to recircle the number. So they take off the money. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
He told them that they meant for long money, they shouldn't take it off, and then send them that the procedure. I don't feel that is right.
This is what you're talking about here is a problem that I've heard people complain about over the years with these companies. And I am wondering if the Fair Trading Commission or the Public Council will be able to give you some greater insight on this. In fact, I know that they're monitor the show, and if they care to, they can please give us a call and give us some direction here, because they have certain policies, and a lot of these policies are actually written into the contracts. We tend to sign up contracts without actually reading them, you know, for these companies, because it's always fine in any case, fine writing, and you know, most of us are interested in anyhow is just getting the service, but a lot of these things are written into the contract. So as unfair as it may seem to be, when it actually happens to us, we would have agreed to it because it's in the contract. As I said, I prefer to get the Public Council or the FTC, whichever one is more responsible for this type of concern, to really respond to this, because I'm out of my depth here. But I do know that this is something that has happened before, in fact, to quite a few people, and they've complained about it here on this program. But it is, you were saying something, sorry.
Yeah, but I don't feel it's right. It shouldn't be so, because I didn't buy the phone, I didn't put any money on it. That was his grandma yesterday. I told him yesterday, you all about.
And what did he tell you?
Put on money. That after 3 months, they don't need money. They're recycling up to some person else.
And what happens to the money that you've put on the phone?
Well, he just told him to put on $5 and he will get back his credit. And a lady told him that, but he just said that is not right. He has to put $5 to keep the number.
He has to put $5 to keep the number?
Yeah.
So okay. So what did they tell you would become of the money that he put on the phone?
They said they never said anything about the money.
That money dead?
That money dead.
That doesn't sound right somehow.
I tell you, grandma, you didn't put money on that. No, you should be taking it off. That's why you got to take some brown and use a phone.
All right.
You phone, you can swear and use your phone and suit yourself.
Well, okay. I'm making a note of it here, and hopefully we get some sort of clarification before the program ends. So keep listening, huh?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, this person says, Maureen, need you to ask a question for me to the Barbados Public Workers Credit Union Limited. How are workers, especially construction, who were laid off and those laid off? Oh, I'm got, sorry. Let me take a call first because I have to read this. People, when you're sending WhatsApps, try to write as clear as possible because when I come to it, I just have to read it straight. And it's always difficult sometimes to decipher. And I'll try to decipher that in between. Let me take the next call. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning to you, dear. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Four calls, four females. That must be a record.
I'm concerned about that elderly lady. I believe that you can call the polyclinic and explain her situation. And I believe that the messenger will be able to help her. It depends on the location she's at. Or she can call the Red Cross or Central Ambulance Brigade, and one of those persons will be able to assist her along the way. That's my feelings. I might be wrong, but I suggest that.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, because as I said, I told her, you know, the messenger would most likely be able to do that. And in fact, we have at least one person here on the WhatsApp who has made it known that he or she they live in the Black Rock area, and they have no problem doing that for the elderly lady. So what I will do is to take this person's number down here, and we'll see if we can organize something for her. But yeah, you know, clearly, we would try to help her out because we really can't have this happening at this stage, you know.
Yeah, I have two other things to ask.
Yeah, go right ahead.
In relation to the WHO and the funding from America, I tend to think that will have a great impact on the Caribbean. Don't you think that? Don't you think so?
I'm not sure. It would have an impact, yes, because America pumps a lot of money into the WHO. I don't know how much, but it's quite a bit, as far as I understand. My concern, but okay, the Pan American Health Organization is really the branch of the WHO here in the region, because remember, PAHO was in existence before the actual WHO. But my concern really about that decision is the politics of it. Clearly, it was a political decision, and it has nothing to do with the whole public health issue that is going on, as far as I'm concerned. Yes, the WHO has to take some lashes on the way how they would have handled things, but every government, every authority that dealt with this this pandemic, they made mistakes. Everybody's making mistakes because there's no book written to say, well, look, these are the things that you should be doing. These are the steps you should be taking. A lot of things are trial and error. A lot of these things people are doing, they have adapted what they would have done in other public health emergencies, and they've adapted them and tried to use them here. So mistakes have been made right through. But to come, for President Trump to come at this stage, after praising the the World Health Organization and China back in January and February of this year to come now to try to look for a scapegoat. It's wrong. Okay? He messed up. The way they have the federal government handle the whole crisis in the United States, I mean, it's clear. They messed up. And we're seeing it because people are dying. A lot more people are dying than they should be dying. My concern, though, and because I don't want to deal with the American politics and President Trump at all, because that's a soapbox I really don't want to get on at all. But my concern is what is happening in terms of what they're doing to Barbados. Remember, they held 20 ventilators that were donated to us. They've stopped supplies from the Bahamas as well as the Cayman Islands, because President Trump invoked a law, an old 70-year-old law, that really stops. It's called the U.S. Defense Production Act. And this law really forces American manufacturers to produce for national security purposes and effectively prohibits the export of items like ventilators and personal protective equipment, which is part of their whole mobilization effort for to fight the crisis. Now, where does that leave us? We have been left out in the cold, because they're stopping things from being shipped. And it's not only us here in the Caribbean that they've had a tussle with France and a few other big countries as well, because they don't want anything shipped like that, because they want to hold it for themselves. So we're seeing a level of selfishness that's going on here that can't work. You know, it seems... And this is the thing that's really upsetting. There are people out there, and President Trump seems to be one, who are thinking, okay, we got to protect America for Americans. So we can close off our borders. We're going to stop export of ventilators and whatnot for everybody else. We can keep them for ourselves. Fine. But the whole world is interdependent. We need each other. America cannot survive off of Americans. It needs everybody else in this world to buy their products, to travel to the United States, for the United States to sell the United States to invest in other places. So this level of selfishness cannot go on. And it's all part of that it worries me. It worries me greatly. And I think that those of us who really sit back and look at what is happening globally, we need to be really worried about our immediate future. I am extremely worried about my immediate future, I must tell you, because the whole fragile nature of our economies, is being shown up. You were saying something. Sorry.
Yeah, and finally, in relation to getting some foreign exchange, and seeing that we are on a one-legged leg, where's the tourism, and tourism is not doing well, and we're not really getting that much revenue from tourism. And for the Kuduma, there will be no more Kuduma. But my suggestion is that if NCF can get the craft people to get the exhibits together, take pictures of them and take them to NCF and get the photographers, do a digital picture of it and set up a web page so that people in the world can purchase these items that we are currently making. And hopefully when all is well and done and we can get them shipped out, we can actually ship them out. But our focus would be to concentrate on arts and crafts and stuff like that, as well as agriculture, if they put some money in the vote for agriculture and everybody in Barbados do hand-in-hand and plant something. If you don't have the space, dig up that lawns and things that you got and throw something in the ground to help sustain your families, and that will cut down on the import bill, because we just can't wait on people to send in food for us, or not eventually we will starve when people start putting the tighter measures on the third world countries. So these are things that we as Barbadians got to sit down and think about. As well as if we have to depend on the first world, because the first world is looking out for themselves. Right now they are in trouble with this and it has great impact on us, and we need revenue to run our country. We can't run it off water, right? Because that's a scarce commodity. And then we still got to look at our balance of payments. We got to look to see if we're going to have a deficit and this surplus and stuff. And right now, as things are going, in the future, it's a good fall. And therefore, there's lots of people who are currently unemployed, right? What's going to happen to these people? It's time to get back to work. Some people will be working in small businesses, and then eventually they might not be able to stand up, because right now we are thinking about entrepreneurship, and those people are just starting the business. It takes 3 years before the business could really shake up, and if you're in year one and things like that happening, you can shake out, right? Because then you got to look to pay back that $5,000 that you borrow, and what's going to happen. So this is a lot of critical issues that we have to look at it from an economic point of view, you know. Is the demand and supply for goods. Right now, the ships are sailing as they should, right? And the planes are flying, right? We're only going to get these things coming in, you know, medical supplies and food to maintain the people. So we got to look at all of this situation. We can't just look at it from the short run. Then we got to look at the supply chain from the first world countries, what impact it will have on us in the third world when the manufacturers are not producing anything and people are not going out to work. It's going to have a rippling effect on the third world countries.
You said a mouthful, and I would like to respond to a number of the points. But what we'll do, stay on the line, Brassett Sankey-Price, with you along with Michelle Brassett. Are you still on the line?
Yes, please.
Good. Thank you. Since you were on for a little while, I have a whole set of calls here lined up. There are two areas that I want to touch with you, and because I dispense with not giving out some opening remarks. One is based on agriculture. The first one, in terms of agriculture, you know, every time that there is any type of crisis, the first thing we talk about is planting more, feeding ourselves and whatnot. All I will say about this at this point is that we need to stop talking and actually implement the action. And this goes through every household. We need to start asking ourselves if we should not be eating more, quote-unquote, yams and potatoes and other food that can be grown locally, and why is, and dispensing with things like a lot of the imported fruits and vegetables that we eat, and start eating more locally. We seriously need to ask ourselves about that. We seriously start to have to look at what incentives can be put in place to encourage householders to plant up the little plots around their land, around their property. Whether they do it in a tiger garden, remember Dr. Colin Hudson a few decades ago used to push this whole idea of these tiger gardens. That way you can reuse those tires. You remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah.
Good. Right. And it works, huh? And mm-hmm. it actually works. It works very, very well.
You can even use plastic bags and all.
You can. Okay.
To grow lettuce.
Right. So that is, so it's an area that I feel very, very strongly about. But we only talk about it when something goes wrong. And we recognize the threat. Then when things go back to normal, then it's forgotten. But isn't that human nature? And the real thing I really want to talk about is crop over. And I will declare up front, I have a vested interest. I'm a band leader, and I have a vested interest. So I declare that up front. But you said there'd be no crop over.
You said and so.
You said so. I didn't say
no,
so.
They said so. I heard they said so on the air that there would be probably
yeah,
no
I'm hearing that sort of talk too. But as far as I know, no official decision has been made. Okay.
Yeah, I know that.
I personally would like to see crop over sometime in November, December. It will obviously be scaled down. Because I don't expect that we would get as many visitors coming into the island. But it's a million-dollar affair. And we need to have money circulating in the economy. And if there's one thing that crop over does,
it brings in
some foreign exchange. But let's assume that we only manage to get even 25% of the people who would normally fly in. Okay? In fact, let's assume that we don't get anybody flying in. The point is that the people need an ease from this whole affair. And independence, around independence time, going up to Christmas, is a time when we need to feel happy. By that time, God willing, we should be seeing, this pandemic will be subsiding,
mm-hmm.
and the country will be opening up gradually.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the time that we should get that sort of level of economic activity happening. All right?
Yeah.
And I strongly feel that we should be having crop over just before independence.
Yeah.
And that's I'm putting up my cards clearly on the table. As I said, I have a vested interest.
Yeah.
So
and
I would say so.
And I have put this to you is that in relation to the singers, they can still cut their music, and what they can do where they have the semifinals and the finals and the children little thing, they can set up a stage and stuff like that and do like a streaming and have it pay-per-view so that they can bring in a little bit of revenue. They might not have an audience, but they can do distancing and the drummers and whatever, set up the stage that they can do this thing and stream it, and they can at least make a little revenue through pay-per-view. Don't you see it that way?
That is a possibility. And, you know, and this, quite frankly, I said this, I'm going to tell you, I said the other day, and somebody looked at me if I was mad. I said, there are a lot of good things that have come out of this whole pandemic. The first is the policy of working from home, where some employers now recognize that some of their employees can work from home. That working from home is not a day off, that they can set up the system so that can be done. And just think about the domino effect of that. If with less people having to travel from home, let's say you live in St. Philip or St. James or St. George or whatever, you're coming to Bridgetown or you're going to Warren's, that's less traffic on the roads because they now can stay at home and do their work. So there's less traffic on the roads, right? So it eases some of that congestion on our streets and some of the pollution from all the car exhaust as well. The next advantage, but again, we haven't been ready because we haven't put the IT infrastructure in place. So that you'll find that could be accelerated now. The IT infrastructure will go into place with the security measures to start to help against the hackers who are always out there trying to do some mischief. Another advantage that I'm seeing is that we'll be thinking more of the digitization of our whole economy. I mean, why is it that people are still getting these checks, these pension checks. I know a lot of people, and my parents here are listening, and I know, and there are people who like to get their checks too, because they're accustomed to it. But they have got to recognize, all of us got to recognize, that there's a cost to those checks being printed. There's a cost to run around the post office people and that sort of stuff. We can cut all of this out and make it much easier if everybody had an ATM card, so that they can go to the ATM. The ATM card comes from the NIS. It's dedicated to you. So you name John Brown, and your pensioner, the money goes into an account. You can go to the ATM and you can draw it off, and you can get your cash. All right, mm-hmm. That needs to happen. And that whole process now could be speeded up. Also, part of the whole digitization is there's so many aspects of government that people are lining up to fill out these form and that form. That, too, will hopefully change, because we don't need to go back to that.
You should be able to fill out those forms online, you know?
You should be able to fill out those forms online. Why should I have to be renewing my driver's license by having to go in the line at the plane? Or Oystens, you know? I mean, I can just be able to get all of that online. There's so many different things that can be done. And that is one of the biggest things that's going to happen post-COVID.
And you
so that's another advantage. Huh?
And you step on paper.
Oh, yes, you do. The
yeah.
next thing
so what do you think
is,
about my idea, actually, for the Hungry Crap Over thing? I'm still thinking about other things.
Let me go on to that. The part that I was thinking about was the one you said about the crafts and whatnot. Okay? The reality is that a lot of Barbadians don't buy crafts.
I don't mean Barbadians. The foreign people usually buy craft, but they can buy it online. You can set up a
No, that's fine. Yeah, because that's being done now. It just needs to be done. It just needs to be expanded. And again, that is one of the advantages of COVID too, where people will recognize they need to market themselves differently. All right. So I agree with that totally, because I didn't get to make that point, but I made it now. But my main concern is that people have to get a greater appreciation for craft, because a lot of Barbadians do not buy craft. I just ask any craft vendor will tell you that.
Yeah, but
a
it's
lot
not
of
only
craft,
really but their drawings and stuff like that people really buy, pictures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what somebody would tell you? They could go in a store and tell and get a print for quarter the price.
No, but some people would buy the original.
Some
the
people
artists
do.
Will make money.
Some people do, but very few. Very, very few. And that is the reality of it all. Anyhow, my dear, I had you on for a long, long time. I'm sure
you're most welcome, and I would think about
enjoy the conversation.
And
with
I would hope to get in contact with you with more ideas.
All right, my dear. Thank you very much. Okay. This person here is saying on the WhatsApp, good morning, Mr. Price. I am concerned about those persons that were self-quarantined. I do believe that these persons should now be tested. The immigration should pull the names of persons that came into the island during that period. My belief is that these self-quarantined persons are infected and not honest enough to come forward and get tested. As you said, it is your belief, young lady, because I see a face on against the telephone number. But one of the things that Barbados has steadfastly resisted, because they could consider it a waste of resources, is if a person does not have any symptoms whatsoever, they've tried not to test people. In fact, one of the protocols, the protocols in Barbados, is that testing is reserved for persons who are exhibiting symptoms, because the thinking is that you really can't afford to be using the swabs and the testing and the other tests materials, especially the kits, just on people just because you feel they should be tested, as against as if they're showing symptoms or if there is a good reason to test them. And this is something that the acting CMO, Dr. Anton Best, has made the point several times. And there is logic in that, because we just can't test people just for the sake of testing, or not, we would be wasting resources. So I understand your concern. What I'm concerned about in terms of people who are supposed to be do self-quarantine is that some people, they know they came back during that period. And then let me add, too, that because few people, you see, the last set of flights came in where you had born, two people on them, would have been late March. So some people are still under self-quarantine now, and they do get phone calls, or they're supposed to be getting phone calls from and or visits as well from health officials, checking on their temperature, checking up on how they're feeling and whatnot. Those people should have a responsibility to stay at home and to protect themselves. Because, let's face it, we cannot, there are not enough facilities in Barbados where you can take people just because they would have traveled over a certain period and put them someplace and watch them if they're feeling well. You know, we just don't have the room for that. And we just don't have the facilities for that. So those people have a responsibility as well to protect other people from them and to continue to check their temperature and continue to report in to the health authorities. Let's take another call. You're on the air. Good morning. Hello, good morning. Good morning. All right, let me take a WhatsApp until we can get that one worked out. This person here is saying, technology is the way to go, but some older folks will be confused. I remember when the community centers used to have classes for the elderly. Some grasped it, some didn't. But we're heading into the digital era, right? It is true. And it is going to be difficult for some elderly people to grasp it. But, you know, we have a thing in this, in the Caribbean, because I've seen it in other places too, that I've been in the Caribbean, where we feel that if you pass a certain age, you're old. And I have a difficulty with that, because some people who are now 60, 65, 70, 75, they have a contribution to make. They have years of experience in some form or the other, in something or the other. And they have a contribution to make. But yet we seem to want to cast these people aside, you know? Like, if you're okay, you're no longer of any use. That's not true. And people of that age group, they can still grasp certain skills and do things that are different with technology if they have an interest. If everybody around them is saying to them, man, you all stay back, then they may begin to think that and begin to believe that. I personally don't believe that. I really, really don't. I think that everybody can do anything at any age as long as they have an interest to do it and they're physically able to do it. And we have to be more open-minded, because I don't know if people, if you look at how demographics are going in this country, but we are an aging society, and we need to start respecting the elderly, and we need to start adapting our roads, our buildings, just about everything in our households to accommodate the elderly. We need to start doing it. Anyhow, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, I'm on?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, good.
Mr. How are you today?
Good morning, sir. I'm good. I give God thanks for my life. You there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, go right ahead, man.
I give God thanks for my life. I hear you were complimenting the women, right? Four women and got through. But I tell you, I was dialing this number from a minute past 10, and I was hoping that I would have been the first person to get through on Brassac.
My friend, let me educate you here, right? And Kashi could tell you.
I know what's going on. That was just a choice.
Sometimes by quarter 10. Right? Mm. There's some people who dial in and wait.
Yeah, well, I know her. I'm a member of that family. So let me talk to them and get off and hear what they say.
Mm-hmm.
You there?
Yes, go ahead.
Right, Mr. Price, I was saying that there is an extension for the curfew, of course. So since there is an extension, of course, there more options are opened up and more possibilities are opened up. So let's continue to discuss. We're talking about church and we're talking about the doctors and Barbados. Just in case I forget my point, you can remind me. You there, Mr. Price?
Yes, I'm listening. Go right
ahead. I'm saying, look, for these entities, there's so much discussion about these entities, about shopping, alphabetical, etc., and gas station open up, the timings and the framings, and people going to get top up, and the church is shut down. I am seeing, I said it already, and I will continue to say it as long as God give me breath, that our churches should be open, or there should be some kind of more discretion used in the opening of churches. Because we're talking about 25 people at a social distance. The church that I attend, and many churches that are attended by people, I'm sure that my church can hold 25 people comfortably 6 feet apart, social distance. Of course, that is partial social distance now. It can hold 25 members. This is Sunday morning we're talking about. And then for the other 25 people can come, rather than having church shut right down. Of course, we talk about online, but there are not all there. It's not every church that do their service online. So to me, having the church shut down or shut off in these times where the church is needed so much, I am one who very much is against the shutdown of the church. Because there's so much discussion about opening other entities. There's so much discussion of other entities being organized, and the church is just shut out.
But clearly, sir, the spiritual needs of people at a time like this is what you're highlighting. You're seeing it as a necessity, and it is a necessity, because man is more than just body, he is spirit as well. And I can understand where you're coming from. However, the opening of churches would be a problem. And I want you to think about it. I mean, honestly, think about it. No. Just hold on. I want you to honestly think about it. Now, you have a bias, okay? And understand that you do have a bias, and accept that you have a bias, and recognize because you have a bias, you will see nothing wrong with this. But that's why I'm asking you to be honest and recognize that even though you would like to see this, think about the dangers that could be involved. Being in church, where you have where people gather and commune together, the whole idea of distancing is really a foreign thought. I mean, it's really not something that you do. Because that's not what church is about. That's not what community, that spiritual community, is about. It's about being together, being close together. Okay? It's something that will naturally happen. People want to bond. People want to link not only with the spirit, but with those who are of similar mind. Now, all this is just a short phase. This is just a short phase. And for this short phase, you need to find an alternative. That alternative is online. If, as you said, and correctly so, that some churches are not online, fine. You do it by telephone. Of course, it's not the same thing. It may be one-on-one. You do it by WhatsApp, a group on WhatsApp. You do it by Skype, Zoom, whatever. But the point is that you come up with an alternative for this short period. The more you agonize about not getting something that you want during this short period, the more it's going to play on your mind and get you more and more aggravated. Okay? That's what I'm saying, to think honestly about it. Because, look.
But all your time about being biased and being what? I still do not agree with you, sir. Because
Why do I expect you to agree with me? Because you want church to open. It's like I want crop over in November, okay? Now, anybody who brings an argument trust me, I will sit down, I will research, I will show you how much money Kropova makes, I will show you X, I will show you Y, I will try to prove my point. Likewise, you will do the same thing for church. But the practical thing is that if this epidemic is still raging, God forbid, by July, August, then it will be impractical. No, it will be irresponsible of the government to think about Kropova. Okay? And if you're honest with yourself, and I like to be honest with myself, I would have to admit to that. And all I'm saying to you, you right now, it is going to, by May 3rd, when this curfew is supposed to come to an end, it'd be 5-6 weeks max that you would not have had this being able to go into your church. Okay? If you are a believer, no, I'm not shushing nor dismissing you, because what you are saying, a lot of people believe and feel, and I could understand it, because at the end of the day, you want to commune with the Spirit. You mean you feel a strong, you really have that. And when you feel that way, you feel that way. And I can't knock that. So therefore, all I'm saying to you, okay, is to recognize it is for a short period. Once we get out of this period, we can then gradually, very gradually, start going to some sense of normality. Yeah. And that is what I suspect will be happening. All right? So we need to recognize this is for a short period. Suppose, we have been spared the despair of a hurricane, of any major catastrophe, where people can't get water, they don't have electricity, there's food is in short supply, that you have to line up to be fed. We have been spared that. There are other people in the Eastern Caribbean over the last decade or so who have not been. And because they have not been spared, you find that they are complying more or less with the curfew, because they know what it is like not to have. And they know what it's like not to have in the worst possible conditions when there's literally nothing to have. We have enough food in the country. We have electricity. We have our phone service. We have water. We have gas. This is cooking natural gas or bottled gas. We have everything. All we need to do is to stay in our homes, stay in the house, and make sure not to go outside and get involved with anybody else and congregate with people, so we can stop the spread of this virus. We just need to do it for 4 weeks.
Yeah, let me get my next.
And that would help. Hello?
Yeah, let me get my next point.
You can get your next point, but just stick a pin. Take a break, because Brad Stack, thank you, Price, with you, along with Michelle Brathwaite. And, sir, you're making another point?
Yes, I'm still here, even though I tend to forget, though. My brain hurting. Trying to remember, man.
No, you make your point, man.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
what we do at last.
You messed me up, man. You did all the talking on my first call, on my first point. You won't give me a chance to push
you. You okay, you saw churches and doctors. So
yeah,
I dealt with
right,
churches,
right, right, right.
Put doctors.
Keep it up, moderator. I'm saying doctors. You tell me what you think about this, Mr. Bryce.
Uh-huh.
You think that a doctor has the right, a doctor should go on, to me, purposely, I call it purposely, he can go shut shop. That's what they call it. That's what he call it. Shut his office. And he start coming to another entity where he tends patients. You think that
what you have to say? Sorry, come again, because that's kind of, you're saying the doctor shuts his office and then he does what?
Right, and then there's an entity, there is, I've got to be careful talking certain things. There is a location he comes that he's due to come and tend to patients. Mm-hmm. And he says he's not coming anymore until this epidemic passes. You know? Mm-hmm. I was in contact with that doctor where I was examined. I was and I thought things through. I was sent for various tests. The test came back, and I have the test. I have the results in my possession. I was told by this doctor. I'm trying to talk. I can't hear, but maybe be more open to come back to the doctor with my results and let the doctor know the doctor shut shop with my results. And of course, there's probably other patients' results. Shot and he's not coming back to work. Of course, I'm going back to him. I said, load on about that. I have to wait until he returns to duty after this epidemic to discuss my medical issues. He saw a doctor and he sends you for a various test. He waited on the result of the test to discuss it with the doctor. This doctor can shut shop. That's the words that get back to me. His office shut and he ain't coming back to that location where he sees people until this thing is over. My thing about it, sir, a doctor doing that day, I thought that doctor was supposed to be helping the Honorable Mayor Motley, helping Ms. Bradshaw, helping the government fight this monster. This is why sharp like that day, a doctor. You with me?
And you have a reason to...
Well, I wish I could stand home and shot like him too and don't go there. But if I don't go work, they can chop off my neck. I'd be charged for all kind of things, not coming to work, absent without leave, all kind of things. But the doctor can shot. He's not going back there to treat people until this thing is over. A doctor.
I understand where you're coming from, and you have a reason to feel aggrieved because part of the Hippocratic Oath is that you would protect, that doctors have to take, that you would normally take care of people, you know. But you have to also remember that a doctor is also a human being. He's a person. And he or she, they would also have their fears. And if in their opinion the cases that they have to deal with are not life-threatening in any major way, in other words, you may be in pain, but that doesn't mean you necessarily will die, and he or she decides, well, you know, to ensure that I don't come down with this this disease as well, since it's highly contagious, I will no longer be conducting these types of clinics. That's a decision that they can take because everybody, quite frankly, is trying to protect themselves from what is a very contagious disease. So, yes, I understand how you would, because I would be, to put say, blue vexes, but mildly, if I was in your shoes,
you get
because I want attention, and especially if I'm paying my money all this time to seeing this person, paying for tests and that sort of stuff, and then to have this happen to me, I would also be upset. But on the flip side, I also have to recognize that doctor is like me, a human being who has his or her own fears, and they have decided, well, you know, I gotta protect myself because I gotta save myself for my family. So there's no right answer here, and you know it is. But as I said, if your condition may be painful, but it may not be life-threatening. And if in his or her estimation, that is the doctor's estimation, that your condition is not life-threatening, because if it's life-threatening, they refer you to the hospital. So if it's not life-threatening, then they will take a position like that. And you have to respect it. Okay? In fact, anyone who is even an essential worker right now, and that person decides tomorrow, look, you see this situation, I can't deal with this anymore. All right? First of all, that's a mental health issue that you got to get past. And you know, when a person decides that they ain't dealing with something, you can talk to them blue in your face. They ain't going to deal with it. And even if they have to come to deal with it, what sort of quality work would they provide since they don't want to be there? You see what I'm saying?
I like your representation, though.
how you mean?
I like your talk.
No, I'm just showing you.
Sir, I'm not arguing with you, but from the past, the first previous calls about being biased, etc., and I got my mind make up. It is just that I might not have a BSc or BAD or PhD under my name like you, but for my simple thinking faculties, I just cannot agree with you right through.
Yeah, but you don't have to agree with me, and that's not a problem. I don't have to agree with you either. But one thing, sir, we can agree to disagree.
I cannot give a doctor to go ahead to do that there. The doctor can afford to protect himself even more than I. The doctor can afford it, and he was taught about it, and he knows about protecting himself. If he catches it, it's unfortunate. But he's a doctor.
Yeah. No, as I said, I could really understand. I could really understand how you would feel.
Diseases and things like this. I can't sit down here, listen to brass tacks, and agree with each shutting shop, as he call it, and he will come back out. When suppose every other doctor thinks like him. Who would me and Motley have to help her, my honorable Miss Brash? Suppose every doctor thinks like him.
But the thing about it is that you slipped up and said. The bones, the knees, the hips, the that sort of stuff. You need them with the bones, okay?
Okay, nothing.
We go into a different realm.
Man, this,
all right.
Not that the person cannot work on contagious diseases. I'm not a victim of it because we don't know. Nobody knows. But I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. If you heard what I said, he said he shut shop until this thing is over. That information. Constructive information that I received. He shut until this thing is over. And I personally feel that that is not right from his part as a doctor.
And you have every right to feel so. But at the same time, some people here are saying, somebody in the WhatsApp says, doctors are people too, who may also have underlying condition or lives with some who does, and therefore take measures to protect themselves. Because at the end of the day, people, whether they're doctors, lawyers, accountants, or a simple homemaker, everybody has to take precautions against this disease because it's highly contagious, and anybody can get it.
So taking precautions, doctors say precaution is a shot.
In the isolation centers and whatnot, the doctors who and nurses and others who are dealing with you, they have the PPEs, the personal protective equipment, which includes the face a face screen, you know, right over your face, the mask as well, and the goggles. Then they have the special clothing. So they have everything to prevent getting the virus. Just give me a second, I can let you talk. When you go into the doctor's clinic, he or she will only have a mask on and gloves. All right? A mask on or gloves. Now, some of them may feel that that is not enough to protect them. And some may have this morbid fear as well. As I said, at the end of the day, they're people. So, you know,
You take my money and you take other patients' money, you can afford to get every protective mechanism in your office to have the...
All right, sir. All right, you made a point. Anyhow, it's nice having a nice conversation with you, and I hope to hear another time, all right?
Okay, my
And say a prayer for everybody in the confines of your home, and pick up the phone and call a couple of people, and together y'all could, y'all could say prayers together. Okay?
Good job. Keep it up.
All right, sir. You have a great day. This person here on the WhatsApp is saying, what the government needs to do now is to focus heavily on innovation. Set up several innovation committees to deal with the advancement of our country. This would aid our comeback and strengthen our continuity for the future. I agree with you totally, sir. Next call. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. All right. Well, we get that worked out. So, Mr. Moderator, forgive me. I do not wish to spell your name incorrectly. Fortunately, Barbados has a good health service. Like Canada, I have always heard. The gentleman speaking of the doctor leaving his office has to understand that the doctor may have an NCD, that's a non-communicable disease, and has to protect himself as a human. All doctors are not in perfect health, even as doctors, period.